Welcome to Geekstrom, the podcast that, for the last time, for maybe a year, hopefully not two, but I guess we'll see. It's on you, HBO. It's talking about Game of Thrones. The finale was this last Sunday, and I'm sure, as you can guess, we all have a lot of opinions. My name... Oh, and I also want to say, just preemptively, that we apologize for Ethan's impending divorce. He sacrificed a lot to come on this podcast and talk to you guys about stuff that you've already seen and read about for the past 2 days. So he's doing it for you, listener. So you better be appreciative.
This is important. This is very important.
Super important. My name is Frankie, and joining me today again are Jared.
Yeah, that's me.
Ethan.
Yeah, bish.
And Anthony.
Hello there.
So, yeah, hey, guess what, guys? It was finale time last night. We're recording this on a Monday.
Did it.
To get, you know...
I thought that was a weird way to end the entire series. I thought that was... it almost seemed like a cliffhanger.
It's almost like there's a lot left
a lot
to
of
go.
Questions.
I think they got a lot of stuff left to do.
I think the ending was implied. It was implied. The zombies win.
Mm-hmm. Especially after, you know, all the rigmarole early on. And I guess that's a pretty good place to start the whole conference there in the beginning, finally getting all the important people, you know, besides the Stark sisters and fucking Bran, all in the same space, you know, all brought together by a weird ice zombie. So what do you guys think of that whole thing?
Yeah.
What an idea.
I actually, once it started, I was like, oh, they're actually going through with, like, the stated plan. I thought it was just an excuse to get the Ice Dragon in the game, and then they're like, it's never going to work. I thought maybe they left a zombie behind. I wasn't even paying that much attention at that point to make sure they got him.
I totally forgot that was what was in that box when the Hound goes downstairs and, like, kicks it. I was like, what the fuck is that?
You mean when they were still on the
gremlin.
Boat?
Yeah, when they were still on the first boat. And everyone I was watching with told me I was stupid.
Oh, how many people?
And I deserved
that?
It. Several thousand.
Oh, okay.
That moment of silence was, tears for Ethan being, you know, the point of ridicule for thousands of people, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I'm just kidding. That didn't happen.
Well, anyone said that was cool. You're in Joel Osteen's church, watching with all the hurricane victims.
Topical reference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just for reference, in case anyone is missing that, he didn't actually open his church
he did
up
not.
To anybody.
He's, as a matter of fact, I think he's asking for donations now to him on behalf of the victims. So, yeah, he is a gigantic ass.
I hope people just eat him.
One day.
I'm good. Yeah.
I don't know, though. Yeah, it doesn't seem like he would be too delicious, but...
He's lean.
Yeah. But yeah, so...
The Texans know how to cook up their meat, though.
Yeah, okay.
That's
but,
true. Yeah.
Like, I
sizzle.
Yeah, but all right. Just for the sake of, you know, getting it out there, fuck you, Joel Osteen.
Yeah, we're going to go out on a limb and say we don't support him.
We don't.
No.
I'm going to put a stamp on it. Geekstrom...
I don't want to speak for your pod, Frankie.
Geekstrom
sorry.
And all its subsidiaries do not support... him or his weird church, his TV church that you can go to.
Well, wait. Geekstrom has no subsidiaries. Geekstrom is the subsidiary.
No.
Well, in the future, we never know.
Come on now. I'm covering all bases.
Up. Anthony could have a...
You got a 5-year plan?
I've got a 15-year plan.
Anthony's going to break off and do some podcast
that
about that
antsless,
weird...
Antsless Pantsless thing you were talking about.
That's right.
The vampire novels. I forget what they were called. Vampire's Kiss or something?
No.
Diary
of a Vampire?
I'm pretty sure if you look at the hierarchy, too, Asterixar is actually a subsidiary of Geekstrom, I think. I have to go through the...
No, you looked at it upside down.
The court documents.
That org chart was upside down.
I think...
This is a pretty intense conversation.
And I don't actually... I'm a little bit unaware of how we actually got to this point. I don't know where that turned.
I think I'm going to take the blame for that one. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well... It's you know what
I'm
else
say we're
going to
cut it all out,
intense?
But people will only have heard that if they've listened to all of it at this point. So,
yeah, I'm just going to
pick up where we left off.
Anthony, this
man,
kind
that
of
box
thing, how, is this as good as it gets?
For wait, what? What's is GOT as good as it gets?
Is this as good as it gets for GOT? Everyone in the same room, sharing one kind of one line each again.
Yeah, dollying back and forth.
Well, I thought it was kind of cool, and like I knew fucking Daenerys was gonna fly in and make a grand entrance and all that. And
I kind of assumed someone was gonna mention that and ruin the moment.
Yeah. But, like, what I liked, I think, the most out of that whole thing was the Hound going up to his brother and being like, you got uglier. I was like, hell yeah. Tell him off.
I felt like that was, like, the most realistic dialogue of all of them, besides, or, like, it felt the most organic out of all of it, besides Cersei just being, you know, queen bitch that she is all the time. Everything else kind of felt stilted and weird. Mostly the Euron, the whole Euron thing, like that was just like,
but it was a ruse. It was a goof.
No, just him like yelling at Theon saying, hey, guess what? I got your sister and I'm a killer. It just kind of felt like, they let him ad lib for some reason. And like, even the people in the scene weren't right. Like, wait, what's happening? What's currently going on at the moment?
It seemed like they wanted to get that in and had no idea where to put it. Yeah. It's like, I just have him blurt it out, and then someone tells him to shut up, and then that's the end of his scene.
It kind of reminded me of, like, a high school play, where, like, the actor is, like, late on the stage, so, like, everyone else just kind of has to, like, come up with something really quick. And I felt like that's kind of what Euron was doing, except, you know, I don't like him either, and he can take his fucking 50,000 ships and go to Joel Osteen's church. Chill out over there. So like when he walked away, I bought into his ruse though. I was like, oh okay, well fuck him, go.
I wouldn't have bought into it a few seasons ago, but now it's like, okay, I guess that's how people announce their intentions now.
I mean, it was like the most logical decision of all of them. He's like, wait, they can't swim? All right, see you later.
Yeah, but, like, nobody could have mentioned, like, you know they can freeze water, right? And, like, walk on it, but...
Or, you know, it could just be Pirates of the Caribbean style, where they just get to the bottom of the ocean and then just walk along the bottom of the ocean and then come back
on
land.
Yeah, John was being, like, really... He's being really specific. He's like, yeah, they can't swim. They can cross bodies of water. I would say the one thing, though, is that is... I mean, and I guess later in the episode we'll get to the same thing. But that's kind of one of those really hard to believe ruses, because it's like, how did you set that up ahead of time that something's going to happen and you take it as a cue to walk out and kind of fool everyone to thinking you're like tapping out of the whole war, which isn't even really necessary for what the rest of the plan is. It was just kind of one of those fake outs that doesn't really make any sense when you think about it for even a second.
Well, I mean, my reasoning was that maybe he was like, oh, he's just going to fake it out when he saw the dragons. That would probably be their, like,
yeah, that'd be easier.
Original idea. But then they're like, oh, a zombie. And, yeah.
I mean, why not just not have him show up?
Because he needed that one Yara line. That's literally
the I guess so.
Which, and they only needed that so that they could have that scene later with the whole fight on the beach, which we'll get to, you know? So it's just kind of like...
I have a note that's headed with worst scene of the show, but we'll get to that when we get to that.
Really?
We'll get there.
Okay.
So, yeah, we have the... The impetus for what is supposed to be the truce shows up and rightfully scares, you know, everyone involved, except for Qyburn, who seems utterly delighted.
Oh, he's very aroused.
That there are zombies and that they can have, you know, independently finger wiggly hands.
Yeah, you notice how he can't sit down all of a sudden. Because everyone's got to see these robes.
Yeah, it was that was a little. I mean, it makes sense, you know, considering that he had essentially created a golem already at this point. But yeah, I just thought that was kind of one of those small character moments that I actually appreciated in this episode.
I did like that.
So yeah, that I thought that was interesting. But then, you know, the entire scene and almost. the entirety of all of the character development and movement that had happened, not only in this season, but in all seasons, was completely undercut by Jon Snow continuing to always tell the truth and be a good man. Just kind of silly, in my opinion. But what are you guys' thoughts?
I kind of didn't. I mean, I'll admit a lot of this episode, I had no idea what was happening. I mean, not like a child, but I mean, just in the sense of like, I didn't understand like what Cersei was offering or what they were offering. Kind of like just a momentary truce. And kind of like she said, like, well, aren't you just going to gather your power and then come fuck me up later? And they were like, oh, yeah, totally. Do you want to agree to that? And she's like, no. How about he stays out of it? And he's like, well, no, I'm not going to stay out of it. I'm like, well, okay. It seemed like a weird setup. So I guess I wasn't sure why he didn't just counteroffer with something instead of just be like, no, let's all go home.
Yeah, that was weird. It's like you came all the way here, lost a dragon, all this shit for the stupid plan, and then they kind of gave up. If it wasn't for Tyrion, like, I guess they were just gone home, right?
Yeah, like, why didn't they tell her, like, hey, you can go back to Casterly Rock and you can rule the West, kind of like the old days. We'll go back to that.
I mean,
yeah,
anyone who knows Cersei knows it's not going to happen. Like, she's got the throne. She's already, like, all set. That's how she's always been. I don't think she's going to, like, turn tail and run. Or, you know, even if she, like, lied and pretended, which, oh, spoiler, she did. Like, I mean, I don't think, like, anyone would even believe it if she said it, like, at the moment. Oh, yeah, I'll do it. No, Tyrion would call her shit out in a minute.
But doesn't that kind of beg the question of why do any of this then?
And I mean, your point is, yeah, is valid too, because the plan they're offering is pretty it's pretty insane for anyone to take that deal. It's an invitation.
Well, isn't it really just more of like a stay of execution for the Lannisters, essentially, but, you know, the way that the Seven Kingdoms are being controlled at this point in time. You know, it's just like, yo, like, we won't destroy you right now, and you should totally come up north and have a bunch of your soldiers die, which makes it easier, even easier, for us to do what we would have done already after this big war is finished.
On top of everything else, I feel like the central conceit of the whole plan, the whole capture a zombie plan, was if we go up north, Cersei will, like, recapture our areas. Well, the only area you have is Dragonstone, and it was sitting there unmanned, and she didn't bother even putting, like, 12 guys there to, like, lock the door. So, and no one in this world scouts, so I think you're good. I mean, just go ahead and go north.
Yeah, I totally...
I mean, the only problem is Euron, and if Euron shows up, just burn all his fleet.
Yeah.
Just stay away from the coast. Just go inland. I mean, I feel like the show this season transitioned into, like, a war genre, and I feel like none of these guys have ever watched a war movie.
Well, they better, like, watch one on the Civil War, for God's sake.
Oh, boy. Confederate.
The joke that keeps on giving.
Well, I think last pod or the one before that, someone mentioned, like, Band of Brothers. Just the way they're able to set up stakes and, like, the real life consequences of victories in battles, and just kind of where people are going to be or where they're going to be unsettled to, makes it much more satisfying. But this, like you're saying, the plan they even are presenting doesn't seem fully fleshed out, even in their own minds. Like, they didn't even have an idea that she was going to say no. Like, there's no counter offers here. Like, what? I don't know. There's, like,
yeah, there really was no bargain. There was no, like, parlay. It was essentially,
right,
like,
there were no chips.
You know,
no chips were being exchanged.
No backup, yep, plans, nothing.
It was basically just like, yo, this is the plan. We would like very much if you would...
You know what? Well, they also, I mean, they didn't even, like, it is weird that Theon's there and he was never like, hey, can we get my sister back?
Yeah,
like we're true, having a, yeah, parlay. True.
Especially after his uncle is like, yo, I'm totally gonna kill her.
Yeah, like,
yeah, and it's like, hey, aren't we sitting on like we can go burn down their city right now at any time, but we're like deciding not to, but we're not telling them that we're deciding not to, you know? It's like they should still believe we're gonna do that. Oh, you gotta give back Yara and then, you know, sit tight for, I don't know.
They've got all the leverage.
Yeah, but knowing the dragon. Knowing fucking John, he would be like, we're not actually going to burn down your city.
He's going to say it out loud.
Well, I think it comes back to something that we might have talked about on the last one or the one before that Jared very eloquently described as the blue shell being put on Daenerys. Like,
yeah.
At the end of season 6, when you've got Daenerys coming this way, and she's got 3 fucking dragons. She's got the Unsullied. She's got the Dothraki. She's got, you know, basically everything going for her. This whole season has basically been about, you know, putting the training wheels on her after everything that she's gone through. It's in a lot of ways, this season, at least from a writing standpoint, felt like they had created a lot of character development for a lot of the most important characters in the show and had underdeveloped other characters, the antagonists, I guess, for the most part, to the main characters of the show, and so spent this year like kind of retrograding them, like trying to pull them back so that they didn't seem as advanced or as powerful. I mean, you saw that with Daenerys, you saw that with Jon, you saw that with the Stark sisters and everything, and then essentially for the most part, at the end of this episode, this last episode, it kind of reestablished order. It kind of reset the board. But it was kind of weird to see all that development get kind of pulled back. It's like, well, ease up on it a little bit.
It's also weird because the only really, like, kind of like organic and sensible counter to Daenerys's advantage was the scorpion. And it had, like, no effect.
Yep.
Whereas that's like the one thing that really would have made sense as like, oh yeah, she kind of over extended and they had a big old ballista and it shot down one of her dragons and she lost one. And that would kind of make sense. And it seems like everything that's happened otherwise really doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, but I think the whole point of having the scorpion bolts is just kind of to set up like a false sense of, you know, drama or whatever beforehand. Kind of like how, I'm not gonna, you know, go into John, really, but, fuck it, how John is, like, the heir now, and it's like, oh, what's gonna happen now? Are they gonna fight? Like, they're not going to, and if they do, it's not gonna really mean anything. It's just kind of there, I think, to create, like, some sense of, you know, suspense for what could happen or what's going to happen. So, like, when they show the scorpion bolt, everyone's like, oh, that's gonna do it, and then, you know, Night King Bran is just like, no, I'm going to kill one.
Well, you know, it's funny that you use that word, Anthony, suspense, because I did not at any point watching this last episode feel any sense of suspense at all. It didn't mean that.
I felt it once.
When was that?
I felt, you know, the biggest surprise of this whole season, and it's happened in 2 episodes, is to realize that I care if Jaime dies. Because I didn't think I did, and I don't think there's any reason to care if he dies, because I don't think he's that important of a character right now. But both times, you know, the one where they had the loot train fight, and then where the mountain's going to kill him, those were the only times, I think, in the whole season that I felt, like, a sense of suspense. And, like, that it's that classic Game of Thrones feeling of, like, please don't do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's right. Like, and they're character capable driven. Of doing it. Yeah.
It was, yeah. It came out of a spot where there was motivation between two characters and not, you know, the grand scheme of things. It was, like, a person-to-person experience, and also, I guess, a person-to-person-to-monster experience, but, you know, it was basically the mountain. Do they have like a, is there a creepy name for him now that he's been zombified, or is he just still the mountain?
Yeah, they call him Sir Robert Strong, but pretty much everyone knows he's what? The mountain. Yeah, that's the
Bob
name.
Strong.
Yeah,
I mean, like, in the books, they have to pretend it's not the mountain for complicated plot reasons.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, I think they do it because, like, they don't want the common people knowing that they have the mountain hulking around, even though the season has shown absolutely no, you know, care about the small folk whatsoever.
I feel like there's almost no extras in the show now.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I was going to say that. There are no small folks.
I do have a question about Bobby Strong over there, real quick. Is it just this season, or has it been since he was reanimated that they changed, like, the Kingsguard's outfit to match his weird, like, kind of, Shredder outfit that he has going on?
Yeah, I noticed that, too, and I thought it was cool
as
fuck.
They changed it twice. They changed it to the god version when Tommen went godly.
Yeah.
And then they changed it when Cersei went Darth Vader-y.
Okay.
I want to say something also.
Because
one of the few things you can
get
out of the show now is the the production value. You know, it's still really good.
Yeah.
Especially the very last shot, which is something that was really amazing with the zombie dragon shooting pointlessly blue fire, but it's still very amazing, and I liked it. But I do think that they went too far with the costume design.
Oh, you think?
I think they're having too much fun with it. They're kind of just doing exactly what they want. And to me, I don't know about you guys, it actually kind of takes me out of the show because everything looks way too new and way too much like they have, like especially when Daenerys pops out her, like, winter outfit out of the blue.
Yeah.
I strongly disagree. I think the costume design has been fucking outstanding this season.
Well, that's what I'm saying is it's very good, but it's not, it doesn't, it feels like a costume designer made it. It doesn't feel like it's in the world. Like, I was watching some old clips recently. I don't know how I got stuck into it, but it really reminded me how good the show used to be. And I felt like the costumes had a good sense of, you know, you went to King's Court or, you know, whatever the fuck, and all the ladies and lords were dressed really nicely, but kind of like a little stupidly. You know, it wasn't like, oh, that's fashionable now. You know, oh, that would be look nice now. And then other folks looked really shitty all the time. And it kind of gave you a good sense of, like, it being real life. Not like people, I mean, now, basically, especially Cersei and Daenerys, they kind of come right off of the catwalk every time they pop out there.
Yeah.
And all their, servants have the exact same super crisp outfits. And it just, I don't know, it kind of takes me out of the show.
Except for Theon. Theon still looks like he's wet all the time.
No, but like...
He's sweaty.
No, but like in the books anyway, like all the costumes and stuff, like all the outfits are designed like to look absolutely insanely ridiculous. Like even... Like he doesn't... Well, the show doesn't go into like the armor really. Like King Robert Baratheon had like a helmet with fucking antlers. Like stone antlers like coming out of it. And, like, they had, like, costume, like, armor sets where, like, they had, like, wings and shit, like, engraved, and they look like fucking dragon heads and shit. And so I'm kind of, like, I think the show probably didn't do that in the beginning because they couldn't afford to. But I feel like if the costumes look like they looked now from, like, season one, do you think that would have, like, changed how you feel about it, or...
Well, I think kind of what Jared's saying, and not to bring it back to Spider-Man 2, but...
Oh, my God.
Oh, you mean Spider-Man 2 with the worst Spider-Man in it? Go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, but his costume into that is so crisp and definitely the best of any of the costumes, any of the Spider-Men. But it does look like it's too good for the character. So I kind of get what Jared's saying that in that regard.
Hey, you know what's funny? Although Spider-Man's cool. We talked about that in the Spider-Man podcast on Geekstrom. How about that?
Hey, you listened to it. It was good.
Yeah. That was a very good episode.
Yeah.
Jared wasn't on it.
Because...
I listened to some of it, and then Ethan told me there were spoilers, so I cut out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, just watch that movie so you can watch it, everyone. Or listen to it, sorry. Used the wrong verb there. Yeah, there's no way that a Spider-Man that's actual Spider-Man could ever make any of the costumes that he's ever worn in comics or movies. Makes no sense, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, the difference here is that these people are, like... royalty, I guess, in this world, so it would make sense that there would be like someone making their costumes. But you know what would be a really good like world building short scene would to kind of like show somebody maybe making them or something.
Yeah, it's like
take like five minutes.
It would be like
it would solve a lot.
And I don't want to make this. It's gonna sound sexist, and that's really not my intention or whatever. But
do it.
You remember when we were talking about the gear up scene, last episode or the one before where they were putting like the dragon glass weapons together in our minds. It didn't actually happen in the show, but we thought that would be pretty neat.
Oh, I just assumed it happened in the show now. I've built that memory in my head.
You're overriding our better suggestions.
Well, like, that would have been cool to have, you know, them chit-chatting while they're gearing up. It would be cool for there to be, like a situation where maybe, for once, Daenerys is talking to Missandei and not Tyrion and only Tyrion, because Tyrion's the only person she ever talks to, apparently, and that she just has a conversation while someone is like, fitting her. That would be really cool.
A fitting scene would be good, yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean, though? Guys, you know what I mean. Yeah. You know what I'm saying.
I get
you know,
it.
It's, I even... You know, I mean, it's kind of like the several costume changes in Star Wars Episode 1, A Phantom Menace. It's just, it doesn't look natural. It looks like someone just like, all right, I'm just going to show my whole line out there. And it looks too fashionable for now, is the problem. They shouldn't look fashionable. They should look like they're from an old day when they didn't think about fashion. Or they thought about fashion, but they were old and stupid, so they had weird ideas about what was fashionable.
I mean, yeah, I'll say that.
I'm not backing down on this, Anthony.
I'm not like gonna die on this hill, but I don't know. I think everything looks like super fantastical. I guess that would be, you know, the word. It's a fantasy show with fucking dragons and zombies. So like, I think, you know, okay, the costumes could look a little fucking outrageous, but
I'm gonna agree with both of you and just say, put in the scene that I'm saying with some weird old lady
script
who's
doctor,
making all the
script
costumes.
Doctor voice.
Yeah. Well, they did kind of do that in season one, which I kind of wish they would do it again, but...
The good season.
Yeah.
I thought about that, too, when they were back at Dragonstone with the little figurines on the big map. I was like,
hey,
who
man,
makes those figurines?
You're skipping one of the best scenes in the show.
Andy Dufresne.
Oh, wait. I had another thing about the... Are we done with the meeting scene?
Yeah, let's fuck that scene.
Well,
I was going to... It
led to Cersei and Tyrion talking, though, which I thought was one of the better scenes in the episode.
Agreed.
And I agree, too.
I got tense that scene.
You... Ooh. What?
I thought he was going to kill Tyrion.
I did.
I mean, everything... it really doesn't make sense that they wouldn't kill Tyrion. So that's kind of why I thought they were going to do it. I was glad to finally see... I always feel bad that Peter Dinklage doesn't have enough good lines. I feel like Cersei still gets... Because she's kind of the center of all the King's Landing scenes, so she still gets some decent dialogue. But, I mean, Dinklage gets, like, a quip here and there. So I'm glad he got something.
I really like the extended pouring, drinking, pouring wine scene.
Yeah.
That was very pregnant, that scene. Oh, well, I guess for multiple reasons. Zing.
Is she really pregnant? Did we discuss this already?
If she's not, then she's good enough to know not to drink wine and like around someone who doesn't even suspect she's pregnant.
Oh, did she drink it? I didn't notice.
No, she doesn't drink his wine, and she's, like, rubbing her belly.
Yeah, they made it pretty clear, you know, to the point where it's like, just in case you forgot, Tyrion figured this shit out in, like, less than 35 seconds. But didn't he use that?
You smell pregnant.
Did he use that in, like, part of his negotiation, or is that what we're supposed to assume?
Yeah, I don't know what he said.
I guess you assume that.
I'm curious.
I think there's theories now.
So.
I wonder if, like, the intention, you know, because, you know, this is kind of a precursor to another scene that we'll be talking about soon, but I wonder if we're supposed to kind of, I don't know, think that there's some subterfuge going on because of the way that scene was cut, you know, where if Tyrion is playing both sides or something like that.
He literally talked about how good lying was like 5 seconds before that scene.
You gotta lie to close the deal, folks.
That sounds like something out of our president's book, The Art of the Deal, available at your local bookseller and White House.
Speaking of liars.
But yeah, so they have
to listen to this podcast and then resign.
The fart of the deal.
So they have their chat, and then they come back out, and then apparently everything is cool. Even though secretly it's not. Dun, dun, dun.
Ooh, or
I fucking bought into that, though. Because when she came out and she was like, the war is to the north is important. I was like, oh, this is such bad writing and I hate it. And I was like, so I was so ready to like tear it apart. And then I was like, oh, I'm wrong. Okay, good.
You kind of held it up to like the example of the rest of the season, though. It's like, oh, it's a perfect match. So this must be someone telling the truth.
Yeah. It was so convenient. And I was like, oh, I believe this for whatever reason.
It's just like a get on with it kind of scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Let's get to the war. Hey, I have a question. Do you think this was Cersei's plan the whole time?
I think we're like, I think we're led like to believe that.
Like if Jon doesn't.
With the
for them to bring her a zombie.
No. I mean, even if Jon agrees to do whatever he refused to do.
Oh yeah,
she's still gonna do the same thing.
Yeah,
right?
I think especially with the whole gold company portion of the plan, that was just always
true. Yeah, I guess that was already in motion.
Always her
hiding
deal.
Some cards.
Which is just again was kind of a. I think that they. The way that they handled this, even though it was still kind of hokey and direct, was still better than how they handled, and I keep teasing this, but how they handled the whole Stark sister situation. Because this was kind of like a, here's what happened, and we're going to show our work, as opposed to us apparently needing to assume everything that was happening was subterfuge, which was kind of...
Yeah, figure out what was on that missing reel.
Yeah. You know, because it could, you know, that's where in like like a CW show they do the flashback where you see all the things happening but you can't hear any of the dialogue. God. Yeah, I'm glad that this isn't that
this
kind
show,
of show
has a lot of growth to get to before it's at CW level.
So let's see. So everyone's cool. Everyone's happy. Everyone thinks that, you know, even though John fucked it up, that everything just ended up being okay. They start going back north after, you know, John pulls the smoothest setup line ever. He's like, hey, did you ever think maybe that witch didn't know what she was talking about when she said you couldn't get knocked up? What's up, girl?
I thought it was a weird directorial choice that they allowed Kit Harington to look directly at the camera during that line. I don't know if I agree with that.
You should have been like, I know you can't get pregnant, but let's try anyway.
But yeah, so you got that whole thing going on. You have that set up.
Are we doing Littlefinger now or are we doing John and Danny? I got notes on both.
Well,
just let me loose.
Do we think that the John and Danny, I mean, here's my hope for the series, that the John and Danny situation ends up being like an old boy conclusion. And he's just horrified by what he's done and, basically throws himself off what remains of the wall.
Well, I could see
you mean it, like a human moment? No, there's no way that's gonna happen.
I could see it being more of like a okay. So we'll just go.
It's another incest movie we know.
We'll go there. We'll go to John and Danny because now we've got essentially the two people that might have the future of the Seven Kingdoms in their hands are both children of incest between Cersei and Jaime and John and Danny, even though I wonder, I don't know. This is the type of question that I never in my life thought that I was ever going to have to ask. So follow me on this one.
Okay.
I can barely say it. If you don't know, is it still considered incest?
No.
I would say that, well, you know, the weird thing about it is that there's, you know, there. I think around the end of season 6, there was kind of an icky suggestion that there might be something going on between John and Sansa. And
there
part
was?
Of that icky, well, you know, who knows? It could happen. But, I mean, she's a redhead, for God's sake. That's his type.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Kissed by fire.
So part of the ickiness is kind of that they think that they're direct or, you know, half-brother and half-sister. But in fact, their incest would be less incestuous than her and than him and Danny, because they'd be cousins.
Yeah.
And him and Danny are aunt and nephew, which is like a little more DNA that you've got that you're sharing.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to like all the other Targaryens, like it's really not that bad.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, like Tywin married his cousin, and
yeah.
I mean, back then. But in that world, like, cousin marrying is not actually, like, a weird thing.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, obviously the Targaryens wed brother and sister, you know, that was established in the show. And there were times when the uncles would marry the nieces and vice versa. And, like, I mean, it's just not that big of a deal, really. Well, like, it is.
Isn't it weird, though? Because isn't that, like, the grossest thing that happens in episode one? And it kind of, like, kicks off the show as, like, hey, get ready for something really gross. And now it's like, hey, the series is concluding. Guess what?
More grossness.
Hope you buckled in.
No, but it's funny, too. We're like, oh, man, I hope Jaime and Cersei make things right. Like, even though they're fucking brother and sister, but whatever.
Yeah, big difference. That was twincest. This is wincest.
Oh.
Have you seen his aunt?
Those abs don't lie. We've seen his ass now. You could bounce a quarter off that.
I was like all excited too. I was like, oh, we're going to see Danny's boobs. And then, you know, Kit Harington's ass just flashed in the screen. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'll settle.
So the best thing about that whole scene,
yeah,
like the lead up to it anyway, was Jorah was trying so hard to make sure that they did not get on that.
Yeah, he was trying to cock block.
Poor Jorah.
He was like, I don't think, maybe don't go on the boat with the guy. You know, don't do that. And then of course,
I mean,
you know, while they're consummating their budding love, you got Tyrion just outside.
He's counting the time. The other best thing was the fact that it had the voiceover of Bran and Sam.
Yeah.
To remind the audience, yes, they're definitely aunt and nephew.
Definitely related.
You know, it kind of annoyed me with Bran, though, is that he was like, have to tell them. I'm like, no, maybe you don't. You know, maybe keep it to yourself, Bran.
Yeah, not now.
Well,
you've been writing him letters left and right. Why didn't you tell him before, dumbass?
As we've figured out, you know, the failing of all the Stark men is by just being completely 100% honest all the time, apparently. So Bran's like, oh, I know. But you know what was weird?
And horny.
That's true. Except for, do we know if Bran has a use of that part of his body?
Ooh.
I guess we'll never find out since he's a three-eyed raven.
Well, him and Sam.
He could warg into an animal and then get some animal sex. Is that wrong? That's the question, because it actually is just technically two animals having sex, just with the mind of a boy inside one of them.
I think that would be okay, too. I mean, this is Game of Thrones.
I'm not touching that one.
Anything is possible.
I mean, he could warg into the mind of at least we know mentally challenged people, so he could warg into the mind of a mentally challenged woman and then suck his own dick. Would that be wrong?
Yeah, because, like, no, that would be wrong, because, like, the, you know, mentally, you know, deficient aren't able to, you know, consent to Bran. And his, you know, three-eyed raven.
Well, nobody would be consenting. He's taken over their brain.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, no means no, Jerry.
Can he work into a dead body? Well, I guess he can if he's the Night King.
Ooh.
Is he warging, or is he just, he grows up to be him?
I don't remember how that works. I don't like that theory. I'll say that.
I was all about it until, like, the internet decided that it was true. And I was like, no, fuck that theory. Like, I was all about it until, like, you know, Huffington Post and Mashable and all of them were like, you won't believe this theory. I'm like, oh, nope, no, fuck it. I don't believe it now.
It annoys me how much content they just blazingly steal from Reddit users. And it's like, hey, this guy has a Game of Thrones theory. It's like, all right, well,
let's run with it.
Link to it. Yeah.
I don't. All right. So we all hate Bronn, right?
No.
Bronn?
Or Bran, sorry, Bran.
I do not the hate man. Him. I'm like one of like the six people that don't.
I think
maybe
I can explain.
He looks a little bit like he could be John Lennon's son. Gives me like a little bit of like lever. You know, he gets some leeway from me.
I think that the hatred
he
towards
kind
him
of
is
has
not
like
justified.
The same thing as the kid that plays Iron Fist, who was also in Game of Thrones, where he has to, at every available opportunity, remind you that he is the Iron Fist. And it's the same thing with Bran. He's like, oh, hey, can you pass that fork? Because I'm the three-eyed raven. It's like, it's...
It was just, good that Sam was just like, what the hell is that?
That was great.
Finally, like, somebody asked the obvious question.
That was
I wish that they just treated him like a kindergartner with a peanut allergy, and they just hung a sign around him that says, "I'm the Three-Eyed Raven. I remember. I can see everything in the past and the future."
Well, he didn't say future. Okay, though. Well,
can't see. Here's my problem.
Here's my problem, though. I think they've done a really bad job explaining what he can and can't do, because my assumption to this point was that he like pretty much knows everything. But then Sam walks in
exactly
with this thing he had no idea.
Exactly.
So it's like, just tell me what he knows and what he doesn't know, or what he's trying to know.
Directly related to a thing that he knows more than almost anything else he knows. Yeah. It's like one of the first big things exactly. he learned. Yeah,
but like, I feel like he's one of, I mean, he's still kind of new to being the Three-Eyed Raven, and there was like his...
Well, then he should stop bragging about it so much.
Like his training exactly. got cut he short. Say that. Like, the whole thing, though, is like, I think the whole idea is that he only knows what he wants to find out. If that makes sense, like
yeah. So
that's what I was about to say.
Yeah. So if I'm wrong, just correct me if I'm wrong. But Ethan, in the books, basically he can only see what like a weirwood tree saw in the past. So he doesn't have like 100% like Google search everything in history and just pop up there and then pop back.
Well, so what the fudge? It's not have quite they ever open-ended. Said that?
No, in the show it's different. He just pops up and does like an Ebenezer Scrooge. And well, it's fine.
God damn it. Yeah.
Like, I don't know why they made that change, but that's how it is in the show. So it is kind of open-ended what he can do, and it looks like he could just...
It made it like, a little bit easier for them to kind of to justify that power. Like, you know, if it was only weirwood stuff, which they never... I mean, they went into it a little bit from, you know, the old gods and when John and Sam went and, you know... pledged themselves to the Night Watch and everything, but they kind of pulled away from that. So if they had stuck with that being like the way that it went, it wouldn't have worked for their narrative. So I'm okay with it at that point. But to what I think Ethan just said, where it's he kind of, or maybe it was Jared, because you guys sound the same. It's just what he wants to know, because it was almost like he was trying to be a successful reporter. He needed two sources before he could report on something, because he literally goes back to a scene that he had already seen, but then puts in the effort to get close enough to hear what the actual name was instead of it being just whispered. And then when he has the annulled portion and then the actual marriage, he's like, oh, wait, let me go check to see if that marriage actually happened. Boom, marriage. John is and did they – so is his name Aegon?
Yeah, it's Aegon. He is Aegon Targaryen the Seventh, and that's kind of significant because, you know, seven kingdoms, seven books, seven fucking everything.
Ooh, seven days in a week.
7-Eleven.
That's right. Seven beers in a case, am I right? Coincidence? I think not.
A baker's case. No, but like, so yeah, we kind of figure Bran is, you know, mini Google. My problem with it, though, is I think Bran, the actor, and everything is, like, fine. It's everyone else around him. Like, no one is, like, probing him with questions. Like, yeah, he's fucking weird, but it's, like, it's your brother. Try to, you know, they just dismiss it. Everyone does. Like, even when,
except for Sam.
Yeah, ask him well, anything.
Like, even during the trial scene, like, you know, Jon Royce and like all the like Vale lords, like they were just kind of like, oh yeah, he has visions, okay, like no one thinks to ask him any like they're just, you know, oh yeah, this is my little brother who can see into the past, like, okay.
I had a big argument with my buddy today, who really never sees any flaws in the show, about why the fuck Littlefinger would like stick around after, because like Bran is not secretive about being the Three-Eyed Raven and seeing everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, you can see everything I've done. That's like Bleach to me. So I'm gonna just fucking leave.
Bran literally told him too. He pretty much told him he can see everything to his face, and he was just like, yeah. Oh, I'm gonna stick around and plot anyway. Like, all right, fucking moron.
This mustache isn't gonna twirl itself.
So, and I think that's a pretty good transition into what I think for me was the thing that I think was supposed to be the most surprising, but as we have very well documented on this here Geekstrom podcast, was like the least satisfying twist of the whole episode was the trial of Arya, which ended up essentially becoming the murder of Littlefinger, which was satisfying to me because as much as I appreciated his ability to play the game, I always thought that he just got away with too much shit. I felt like it was was the least burdened by consequence of almost any person in the entire show. So the fact that he got killed and the way that he got killed and who he got killed by was ultimately satisfying to me, even if narratively it was just kind of like, eh.
I think that the problem, and I mean, if you contrast to like Joffrey's death, for instance, which is the other cunt who you've been waiting to see die since season one. like one thing that's really great about Joffrey's death is he goes out on an absolute high. You know, he's marrying a babe. He's like very going way over the top in how much he's willing to humiliate Tyrion, who's kind of your, you know, the main guy you care about in that scene or in that setting. And then, you know, he chokes to death at his own wedding, which is just so pure. And it's not as direct because obviously none of the people you wanted to kill him killed him. But it's still satisfying in a different way. Whereas Littlefinger, I feel like he was already neutered. By the time he made that pass at Sansa and she kind of denied him, it's like, you know, he's trying to get something started, but he's already kind of past his prime. So it's you know, it's kind of like watching a fight after he's, you know, he's just kind of sluggish. And so it's not quite as satisfying as it would have been if he was like in the middle of some really good Machiavellian scheme that just one little detail kind of fucked it up, you know, epically.
Yeah, I found it unsatisfying for sure. And I don't really get, like, you said, why is he still there? Yeah, why is Sansa even want him there anymore? Like, she very openly hates him to his face, but like she keeps him around, and if Arya didn't show up, he'd still be there, I guess, right? Just hanging out.
Yeah, because I think that was kind of, because I mean, honestly, the whole episode felt like just like a, like literally like a quick wrap up to just kind of set the stage for the next season, and it had already been established that, you know, we kind of need to have the Starks just be the Starks and there be really no reason for them to have infighting or anything like that anymore. So at that point it was just kind of like, he's got to go, but what do we need to do? So it was kind of like, I don't have kids, but I would assume that every now and again your kid like tries to see if he can get away with something just a little bit more, and always pushes it just kind of a little bit more and more and more and more, and then eventually it's like, oh well, guess what, you're fucking grounded or whatever now. But instead of being grounded, he made that one last push to be like, hey, maybe you should kill your sister. He's like, no, and because you're being annoying and have gone too far, we're gonna murder you instead. And it's like, oh man, I don't want to get murdered.
I didn't like that was not a fair trial.
Yeah, he didn't have a jury of his peers.
Yeah, people just started throwing allegations at him, and he even said, like, do I have a chance to defend myself? And I was like, okay, he's going to, you know, put some, string some pretty words together here and make a good case for himself. But then he just kind of, like, starts groveling. I mean, and it's like, but he has a good case, though. They wouldn't be in Winterfell without
him. Yeah, but everyone...
Well, then, so. And also, everything they were alleging was kind of, they had no evidence. They had...
Yeah, he even says that. He's like, who was there? Like, and then, nobody.
Well, Bran, okay. He was like, you held a knife to my dad. Like, he could have been like, how the fuck do you know, freak? But...
Yeah, no, I didn't.
We're going to listen to this, cripple? Yeah,
but,
like,
but, I mean...
Well, I think, though, kind of, one of the wild things about that whole scene is it reminded me that Sansa directly witnessed him killing her Aunt Lysa. And the whole point of...
I forgot that.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, back then, she... you know, got behind Littlefinger because he was kind of the only person who he was kind of the devil she knew, and so she got him out of that bind. But once they got to Winterfell, like, Bronze Jon Royce was like one of the main guys accusing him, so she could have just been like, oh hey, by the way, this guy totally did murder my aunt, and arrest him. And now, because I mean, he has no leverage, and I think we talked about that a few podcasts ago, where like him being at Winterfell and just letting shit happen makes no sense, because he had some leverage going into that battle. And instead, he just kind of pulled like a weird, like, teenage lovesick kid, and he's like, oh, well, maybe if I help her out, she'll kiss me later. And that was, like, the extent of this, like, mastermind's plan.
Yeah, that kind of disappointed me, because, like, I was kind of hoping his plan would be much more grand. Like, I don't know. There are theories that, like, he's working with Braavos, and, like, he's working with the Iron Bank, and, you know, stuff like that. And I think that would have been, you know, much more satisfying than Littlefinger wants Sansa to kiss him. But... like, I mean, I mean,
that's like the plot of every Family Matters episode.
Like, I was still all about it. Like, I was still like in that moment, like, yeah, fuck yeah, get him. So like, I can't really argue too much, but like, I wish they didn't kill him, because even though he's been generally useless, like, I feel like he's just too smart of a character to just get rid of.
Yeah, I think he was like my favorite character for the first seasons up to this one.
Can I ask you another question? Is your least favorite character Arya? Because Arya fucking sucks now. She's so bad.
She's lower on the list. I don't know. I don't really think about her very much.
I don't either. I mean, she used to be one of my favorite characters. But I mean, she just kind of walks everywhere, like with her hands behind her back, with a stupid look on her face, and like, that's she's true. Just one of those,
got
like
that smug face.
She's kind of been made one-dimensional, and it's just fucking terrible, because, like, she was kind of the character who struggled the most, I think, early on. Maybe John, you know, had tied with her, or Danny. But she was one of the top ones, and now she's just kind of another asshole in there.
I mean, they...
Well, especially, like, all the shit with Sansa.
Well, I think that it's kind of, you know, she's become a little bit of a trope at this point, where, like, someone... just kind of gets beat down over and over and over again, and essentially becomes kind of a reflection of what it was that beat them down into where they're at. But I do also think
that... But the show kind of treats her like it's not bad, though. Like, you shouldn't be horrified that she's become the monster she's fought.
True.
You know? Everyone's like,
but
oh,
I also think that
she's treated kind of like she's just become like Batman now.
I think it's kind of a symptom of what they've decided to do with her in regards to her family in these last couple of episodes. So I don't think that she's like irredeemable at this point to becoming like more on the path of what it was that her character arc was prior. But I do kind of see this being a detriment, like this season being a detriment to her character overall. I definitely agree with that.
I think they didn't really get to flesh her out as much though. Like, this season, I mean, like, we got, like, only a few scenes with her. We didn't really get that much. And, like, every scene we had with her...
And they all sucked.
Pretty... But, like...
And they were all bad.
No, I mean, like, I think they could have, even though it amounted to nothing, which seems to be the crux of the whole show lately, like, they really...
Is the show like a Brewster's Millions scenario where they're like, you have to do 7 episodes of a show, but nothing can actually, like, matter?
Yeah, like, they could have really, you know, played off, like, played along with, like, the rivalry she has with Sansa. And, like, they could have done a lot with that, too, even though we kind of, you know, exclusive to Geekstorm, we called out, you know, that shit. But, yeah.
Well, that's right. We led the wave.
They kind of played it like on both sides, which was the problem. They wanted to get the tension between the two sisters, but then they were teaming up, but like it was half in the bag for each one. I don't know.
And the question that I have about that in particular, for Anthony to like kind of see if this is what he was getting at, is, you know, that scene that they have afterwards where they're talking about how they essentially are like, listen, I still don't like 100% like you because you're completely opposite from me. But I love you, and we're family, and we're going to protect each other. Like, when they have that, you know, come-to-Jesus moment on the ramparts there before they go on to the next scene. I feel like that, if they would have been able to kind of have that relationship between them, especially for the entirety of their collusion on getting Littlefinger out of the picture, it would have been a lot more effective than going along this. We're both these obstinate, stubborn women that refuse to see eye to eye, but we're just kind of doing that for shits and gigs because we want to get this guy murdered.
Well, it's, I mean, it was like 50 fucking years ago that like Hitchcock explained the difference between surprise and suspense, mm-hmm. and how suspense is 100 times better. And the whole point of it is you let the audience in on what's happening, which makes sense. So instead of watching a bunch of fucking horse shit and then at the end being like, ha ha, none of that actually happened the way you thought. You know, you let people in and they can kind of feel the sense of like, oh, will Littlefinger find out? How is he going to counter this?
Exactly.
I mean, it's really basic stuff. So it's really frustrating that, like, you know, the most popular show on television is still like, yeah, we're going to spend 4 episodes just kind of showing you. And then someone at the end is going to wake up and it was all a dream.
Yeah, you put it well.
Mark.
Nothing right. more to add on that.
I still liked it, though.
Wait, yeah. Before you do your Geekstrom, I did want to mention something about the worst scene on the show I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, we gotta get to the wet man.
the sweat boy. So Theon has his moment on the sand, his only fucking scene this season, basically, other than like when he jumped off that boat. And it's like, I mean, to the degree to which the show has, and we talked about this, kind of flattened everybody into one single superpower. Like, I'm the smuggler, and I'm the assassin, and I'm the whatever. And his superpower is that he doesn't have a dick. So he can take the beating of his life and be, like, almost passed out. But then if someone knees him in the crotch, the fact that he has no balls will confuse his opponent so much that he'll gain the upper hand. Now, and that's the stupidest thing I've seen all season. It was
doesn't everyone know that he doesn't have a dick? Like, I they all make jokes about it. Like,
yeah.
Well, on top of that, didn't Brienne got kicked in the crotch and it seemed to hurt? It's like, why would that not hurt at all?
Well, that's different.
Knee in the groin. I'm just saying it would. I mean, the guy was on death's door, and then he's like, "Oh, this wasn't the kill blow that I thought."
It was really bad because I thought they were going to go with the whole. Yeah, loosen him up. I thought they were going to go the route of, like, Rocky. You know, he never went down. Which would still be kind of weird, but be way better than this. But does he not have balls and a dick, or does he just not have a dick?
I thought he was completely, it was just all gone.
It's all gone? He's like a Ken doll down there?
Well, they mailed his dick to his dad, but I don't know why he would cut the balls off and not send that also.
Let me put it on his truck.
I mean, but if he's...
truck nuts. You put him on the boat.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, it would have been... I feel like the thing that the show's going to do next, the only way they can top this is if they engineer it so that Theon is the new general of the Unsullied. And they just kind of like, yes, none of us have dicks. We're the low-T army.
One of us.
Too good.
That'd be great if they did that. I also just hated that scene because I wanted Theon to never have a victory because it was it was like so satisfying in an unsatisfying way that he just keeps letting everyone down. But
he's
you
just
kind of
like Gil from The Simpsons.
Oh my God. Yeah, exactly.
That's too good. Hey, Jared.
What's up, boy?
Do I have your permission to go on to the Maelstrom now?
Yes. I'm sorry. I write notes. Sorry. I sure prepared.
That's okay.
I take a note of when I drop a line and then we don't follow up.
That's okay. So, yeah. Here, cue music, Bob. So, obviously, we didn't really talk about the wall coming down because, I mean, essentially, there was nothing narratively important about it. It did look really cool. And I guess you could talk
about... I had questions, but we can skip.
Well, no, and you can bring it up in this next part, but...
Was that propane? It must have been. It was blue.
I was thinking it was more along the lines of the blue fire from Legend of Zelda. That was what I thought.
Or maybe it's like that stuff that you throw on the fireplace that makes it like blue and
I thought it was
stuff.
Like Sterno.
As a joke?
It's like those like Sterno canisters that you put like under...
Fucking... Hand sanitizer? But yeah, so everything is—it's all set now. The whole chessboard has been completely set for this final season, which I think is what supposed to be six episodes, but they're all supposed to be long or something like that.
Yeah, but it's still going to feel way too short.
Six episodes, but yeah, I heard it's six episodes, but it's one per year for the next 6 years.
Oh, geez. So heading into next season, we've got the possibility of two incest kids. Theon and like eight guys trying to go after an entire...
You have to get at least to 20 good men, otherwise the mission's never going to go.
Well, what's even worse about it is not only is he going into, you know, into where all the ships are, like literally the largest fleet in the history of ever, but then they're also going to have the entirety of the gold company on those ships as well. So it took what were astronomical improbability and took it to just completely another level.
Is Yara with Euron now?
I would assume,
or was
right?
She still at King's Landing.
I don't know.
It'd be
know,
cool if they told us
if she's with. If she's with, well, maybe that's what Euron was saying. Like he's with me, but if she's with Euron, wouldn't Theon go the wrong direction? Because wouldn't he go back to the Iron Islands thinking that he retreated?
That's true.
Hmm.
That could be silly.
We got plenty of time to figure it out.
That's true. We've got Jamie,
They should do a scene where he gets to the Iron Islands, like, wait, she's not here. And then the very next scene, they're already in Essos. They're just like, all right, we had to turn around. Oh, well.
That'd be great, just like a bunch of smash cuts. He's like, wait, she's not here either. Where in the world is Yara?
Just him going through a bunch of doors, like, very suddenly, looking around, and then turning around and shaking his head.
It's probably going to be, like, a viral, like, web game. Like, where is Yara Greyjoy? It's going to be, like, Lion. Where, like, we have to figure out, like, how he gets to...
Yeah. Oh, and then the whole, I guess the North has to either decide to accept Daenerys or not. So that's another thing. Yeah.
What's the prediction on that one?
Well, I think it's going to be one of those grumble, grumble, grumble. Jon says some
words.
She's
got a fucking dragon.
Sansa says some words.
Lyanna stands up and says something.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And then, then they essentially just
and then
all
the slow clap.
Bend the knee again.
They'll probably,
I guess it kind of depends on
go along with it.
Who knows about and when they know about Jon's true heritage. I guess that would be kind of a turning point or not, you know?
Well, maybe Bran can keep his mouth shut for like 20 minutes.
Maybe they end up killing him.
Why didn't Bran tell anyone
else? It all comes full circle.
No, I'm sorry. I have to say, okay, Bran, I'm the only one that knows this. No, you're not. Howland Reed, Mira's dad, is still alive, and he was at
That's
the Tower
right.
of Joy. So,
yeah, so you should know that.
Bran,
you're hanging out with his daughter. You know he's still alive.
Like
Bran, she went. Didn't she go back?
Yeah, and Bran knows that he was there. Bran saw what happened at the tower. We all did. So,
Bran,
wait, who is this?
Mira, the girl that was like with Bran the whole time.
And
she was like, "Oh, you died in that cave," and I was like, "Ooh, cool theory thing," but didn't happen. yeah. Okay. Well, my theory was that, like, he's, like, the third head of the dragon. He's, like, the third dragon rider because he died, Jon died, and Daenerys technically died when they were all, like, reborn somehow. But, yeah, I'm an idiot, and that didn't come to pass, so.
What about Beric? Poor Beric.
Beric is badass.
Beric
dude.
Has a role to play, and I refuse to believe he's dead.
Him and Tormund are both alive.
I mean, if they...
Oh, surely they're alive. That would be insane if they just died kind of like in a wide shot.
But the amount of destruction on that wall, it's going to be way stupid if they survive that.
Oh, well, yeah.
But it's even worse that they didn't kill them in the friggin'
Yeah, like
the
they
North,
could have had like meaningful...
If they killed them there. Mean,
but at the same time, I kind of would appreciate it more if they died there. Because it would be kind of like...
Where?
If, like, they died when fucking Ice Dragon showed up, because... Well, because, like, it would just be more true to life in the sense that, yeah, it's a show with zombies and dragons, but, you know. But for the most part, the draw of the show is that it's, you know, realistic, and a lot of times people just die in battle, like... So, I kind of, you know... would be fine with them just dying off screen, even though I like them both.
It couldn't happen on that scene, though, because I feel like everything about that scene said the season is, you know, credits are any second now. And it would be almost like if Sam had died at the end of season two when he sees the White Walker and then just like one just stabs him. It's like people would forget he's dead. Yeah.
True.
So they couldn't be dead.
But they did it with Stannis.
No, Stannis had more time. He wasn't like at the last shot of the season.
True, but people, I think.
And also Stannis isn't dead.
No, he's not.
Well, and that's the thing, right? What? It's no. the whole rule, if yeah. you don't see them die, they're not dead type thing, which yeah. I think would be the only way that you could kind of justify, like, essentially it's probably going to be like we're looking at the rubble of the wall, and then all of a sudden this red hair just explodes yeah. from the snow, and like he, you know, like he's the Three Stooges or something, and wipes the snow off of him, and then it's like, oh, and then he finds Beric, and he's like, oh, it looks like I escaped death again. I mean, that's probably what's going to happen.
I kind of don't want to
have it on my ninth life. They're going to be crawling out of the rubble like they're dying, you know, and then a hand reaches down and it's Stannis.
Ooh. That would be cool.
And it's Blackfish.
It looks like
too.
You boys need some help.
And Benjen.
Benjen's
and
back.
Ghost.
And Ghost and Blackfish.
And they have the Horn of Winter.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ethan.
What?
That's not a thing you would know about, I guess.
The Horny Winter?
Yeah.
I wanted to just point out how fucking fast was that dragon? Cause like I feel like
it was
yeah,
super
like
fast.
Daenerys' dragons, like I noticed that too. They're like they're fast, but they kind of like glide and like it's all very controlled. Like
yeah, he had a lot of control yeah. over that dragon.
Well, it seems like they kind of control the wind because that avalanche follows them wherever they go. And plus, I mean, did you see those ground effects with that blue flame? This guy's got it tricked out.
Yeah, it's like.
LED lights
in there, man. plus he's dead, so maybe he lost a lot of weight, so he's just
yeah
flying.
my friend was like actually pointing out, he was like, look at all the holes in his wings, how is he flying like that?
Yeah, that annoyed me. It's like he wasn't dead long enough.
I was
to
like
holes
there
in his
were
wings.
Undead
on.
Zombie mammoths in the show though, I mean, come on, you know, give it.
Yeah, and he was well preserved, he was in ice water, he should be fucking plush.
Scrubbed clean.
They had to play it up. They're trying to court the World of Warcraft fans.
Yeah.
So my question with the wall here, I don't know if they ever say it on the show, but there's supposedly the magic that keeps out the walkers and everything, which is fine. But does that mean that the dragon fire negates the magic, or it was just so strong the magic doesn't matter, or is there no magic? I need answers.
I think, if I remember correctly, and Anthony, you're going to have to either back me up or disprove this, but I believe that the idea of whatever the magic was undone by the Night King grabbing Bran's arm in that vision.
Yeah, that was what I picked up from it. And then Bran going over the wall, or from beyond the wall. That means that something has been marked by him, and it's beyond the wall, so nothing can really stand in his way now.
So yeah. So then at that point, he could have crossed the wall at any point, so that means that he knew the dragon was coming, and he waited for it?
Yes.
So he can boost up his army? I think,
which goes along with the whole he's Bran theory.
And I think it was kind of implied that he knew everything was going to happen, because, you know, he had three spears, three dragons, and he didn't go after the one that was fucking stationary.
Mm-hmm. Also, in our better version of this show, remember, there was the scene where he had his eyes closed and then he opened them when the dragon came?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
That's
a good
canon.
Scene.
That was a great scene.
Yeah, that was great. I remember it that way, too.
Yeah. But, yeah,
and he raised
I think,
it from the water like he's Yoda. That's
I think
cool
if
scene.
They...
Oh, that would have been good.
They technically could have probably just, you know, like we were talking about a couple episodes ago, too. They could have just tore down the gates and then just walked through really slowly. That would have been something. But it's kind of like wow factor. It's like, yeah, but now we have a dragon. So,
yeah,
sorry, guys.
He upgraded.
Yeah, I get it. And I mean, basically everything that's happened in the show is what we predicted. And it's all fine. Like, the ends that they're arriving at are fine.
Yeah.
It's just, like we've been discussing, just the means of getting there has been a problem.
Well,
so yeah. At this point, the show's where it should be, I guess, right?
Yeah, it was kind of, and I think that the way that they cleaned everything up, kind of, you know, whether or not the way that it got there was clean or appropriate, it did validate a lot of the kind of weird choices that were made throughout the entirety of the season. So I think it made the season better by existing. But I had this argument with some, let's call them normies, on someone had said something just outrageous. It was like the first time I've ever posted on Facebook in a long time. They just were, it kind of reminded me of the thing when we were talking about the CinemaSin stuff. But it's like they were complaining about people being critical of this season, which I always think is kind of a strange thing to be critical of criticism. I always thought that's kind of a weird stance to take. But my whole point to them, the people that were in this little, you know, comment chain, was that a lot of what has been kind of established in this world, like, I think most fantasy creates a set of rules and like a status quo and at least kind of a methodology to things. And it doesn't matter that it's not real, because that was kind of the whole point, right? And it doesn't matter that it's fantasy, because that was the whole point. It's like, well, obviously it's not realistic because there's dragons and whatever. It's like, no, but that's the point. The point is you're living in a world where there's blood magic and dragons and people that can change their faces and stuff like that. All that stuff exists. So that's the bedrock of the story. And that's not even what made the show awesome in the first place. It was all of the human interactions, the person-to-person, the conversation, the realistic parts of the fantasy setting were what made the show good. And the reason that it's so easy to be critical of this most recent season is that it kind of went in a different direction and started breaking a lot of those rules. Like, it's something as simple as the, you know, what we continue to refer to as the fast travel. It's like, you had a show that prided itself on being aware of how long it took to get things done, to get from place to place, and then you have an entire season that's dedicated to completely ignoring that. So it's not that we're being critical of the fantasy aspect of it, we're being critical of the storytelling.
It's such a lazy argument when people try and do that.
Yeah.
It's like, what if like a unicorn jumped into Star Wars? It's like, well, there's fucking aliens, so who gives a shit? So it's like, okay, so then why do you even watch it? What does it matter?
I mean, I have a couple of normie friends who are, you know, they're like, oh, you're being overly nitpicky. And I'm really not being as normally, like, I'm not being as nitpicky as I could be. Because I forgive a lot of what I would find wrong with the show. But, I mean, in my view, you know, they're taking, you know, I still can't differentiate between the books and the source and the show. I still have a hard time doing that because, like, to me, the source material is just so good and there's so much of it. And then when I see, like, little things that could have easily been fixed with, like, you know, just a rework, you know, I'm like, oh, well, I have to, you know, point out, like, oh, this is wrong, this is wrong, this shouldn't be like that, because I want the show to be as good as the, you know, source material, or at least I want it to be on par or even better. And in some ways, the show has done a better job than the books in a couple of areas, but, I mean, overall, it's, I want the show to be as good as the books are. So if I, like, if I nitpicky, like, that's because I want it to be, I love the show, and I want nothing but the best for it.
Yeah.
Well, it's, I mean, it's kind of like, there's stuff in the books that I don't like, but I have no idea how I would improve it. And yet the show, you can kind of just off the top of your head be like, hey, you could actually do this differently. And it's like, oh, yeah, that'd totally be better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've tossed up like 10 of those.
Yeah. But hey, now it sounds like we're defending our craft a little bit, so I don't want to get too deep into that. But yeah, is there anything, like any predictions that you guys have for this next season? I mean, it's all pretty much kind of laid out. And I think, like you were talking about with the Reddit stuff, and we've been kind of chiming on for this whole season, it's been a lot of kind of making good on a lot of fan theories and what people have wanted. So I think at this point, like beyond like Clegane Bowl and maybe John and Danny actually having a kid, like all the stuff that people have been clamoring for or been thinking about has already happened. So what's left and what do you think is going to happen?
I think the show is going to go back to what made the show stand out to begin with, and I think it's going to disappoint a lot of people in that it's going to break your fucking heart, which that's kind of what I'm hoping for. Like, I'm not hoping, I don't want it to happen, but, like, the show would probably kill off Daenerys, or, you know, because now that we know it's established that it's pretty much all about Jon, you know. Or, like, you know, I thought Tyrion was going to die, because, and I was, like we were saying earlier, oh, you know, in that scene with him in the mountain and Cersei, I'm like, oh, she's going to kill him. Like, that would shock me, but it wouldn't, because, again, this is a show that prides itself on killing everyone indiscriminately. So I think the next season, we're going to see more main characters die off, hopefully.
Yeah, you got to. If you have, I mean, who died this season? Littlefinger and then one Sand Snake?
Oh, all of them.
Sand's dad and brother.
Thoros.
Yeah, but like.
Oh, yeah. Who's it? Thoros? Is
yeah,
that
there
it?
Was. No, I think so. Well,
that's kind of no, wild for how I mean, high the stakes are.
Olenna Tyrell.
That's right. Yeah. The very old woman.
Yeah, was probably going to. Yeah.
Oh, and I guess the Tarleys.
Well, yeah, he said that.
But Littlefinger's the only one that's remotely close to a lead character, and even he, kind of like we talked about, has kind of been muted into the background. I mean, there's no one on the level of a main character. So I would hope, I agree. I think it'd be cool if some more main characters died, at least with a purpose. I don't necessarily, I like when the deaths are unpredictable and yet make total sense from a character standpoint.
Like,
so if they're able to do that.
Well,
I think.
Oh, no, go on.
Okay, well, here's my prediction, and I've got facts to back me up from the show.
Oh, okay, let's bring facts, it. But
I think Jon is going to die in a sacrificial way to allow Dany to sit on the throne, because what, a couple times this season, Sansa and Arya were saying the lone wolf dies so the pack can survive. So him sacrificing himself for Dany is going to create an indelible bond there between the Starks and the Targaryens, and then they'll rule together in perfect happiness.
Perpetuity.
Nothing bad will ever happen
just
again.
Just like that other time that happened.
I don't know.
I mean, I feel like it. I mean, this season, the stuff that happened this season, I feel like it was a mix of stuff that came so far out of left field you could never predict it, like the zombie hunt, and then stuff that you probably could predict but just assumed was going to happen, like more verification about John and Danny getting together, the wall coming down. So I feel like all that same stuff, like I expect. There's that continual vision of a dragon flying over King's Landing that we haven't seen yet, so I assume that's going to happen. Probably stuff that's hinted at in the book, so I guess I don't want to really spoil anything for Ethan.
What?
But you guys know all the stuff that's generally bound to happen, right? So I expect that's going to happen, and then beyond that, what's Arya going to do? I have no idea. I hope we see Ghost ever again.
Of course.
Maybe he's the lone wolf that dies.
Oh. Don't yeah, joke think... about that. That's not funny.
My heart is not ready.
I think one thing that's... I'd be disappointed if they actually do have the whole battle for the North in the North. I mean, I know everyone expects it to happen at Winterfell, but it'd be kind of disappointing if the whole army gets stopped at, like, the first checkpoint.
Yeah, like, I'd like to see
Winterfell traveling for, like, seven seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that dragon that flies over King's Landing is the dead dragon. That'd be cool.
Well, I mean, I imagine that's kind of an interesting idea, actually, because, I mean, wouldn't it make sense, I mean, I still don't really know, like, the level of intelligence. It has to be incredibly high, but it would make sense from a tactical standpoint to fly south with this unstoppable killing machine that you have. I guess he, I don't know, maybe the...
He could kill people and then make, another army.
Exactly. Push but then I kind of like, wonder how that blue fire works, because if it's like, you know, if it's like Drogon's, everyone was just fucking done. Completely done. Like,
yeah, he'd have to like topple buildings on top of people or something.
But that would be, and I think
it
you know,
be smushed.
And they would kill more people, and then they would have more of an army and everything. Yeah,
like
so
a
then
million
you have some
people.
Kind of,
they kept mentioning a million people.
Yeah,
this season or this episode. So that would be good. That's I'm gonna put that as my seal of my prediction.
Okay,
a dragon is the dead dragon.
Got it.
So like you're thinking. And then Cersei's gonna run up north and get eaten by Nymeria or something on the way. That'd be cool.
I'd be cool with that. Eats the baby right out of her.
Oh, Jesus.
Take that.
That's
that would be
how
a visual.
The entire show ends.
Yeah.
Well, what do we have as far as, what do we have as far as prophecies left?
I can delve into this shit.
Well, we're already at an hour and 22 minutes, so
listener,
let's not make an entire podcast out of it.
Yeah. I mean, there's Valonqar stuff. There's, you know, potential more Mad Queen stuff.
What if I were to say that I think the prince that was promised is Jon and Dany's kid? And
where's the smoke?
No.
You can make smoke.
What I mean, though, is like, he's not going to actually be born. And that's gonna like negate all the prophecies and all the spells and all that good shit, because it seems like the Night King and all them they like everything seems to work based on what is going to happen. But let's say Night King kills off one of Daenerys' dragons and then wounds Drogon, and Drogon falls and like crushes Dany while she's pregnant, and Jon you know kills her to like you know stop. Make it like a you know slow and painless death, fucking whatever. So like, yeah
mercy kill
that would kill their unborn baby, and that would negate pretty much all the prophecies. And then Jon could just end the Long Night by killing Night King. It's also
would his sword turn on
fire
at that point?
Okay, now I have to go into the lore really quick. The original, sorry, it'll be quick. The original Lord of Light, reborn as Azor Ahai, they mentioned him like twice in the show. His sword was forged when he killed his wife with it, and he like used her blood to like temper it or whatever. I don't know how to make swords, but if he Jon, I know
you're a fake nerd, dude. Everyone
well,
knows that.
Any hoozle, he's gonna if he has like the blood of like his love. On the weapon, and that's gonna be Lightbringer, and then, and it seems more and more like Jon is the chosen hero now, because, you know, oh, his name is Aegon, and Aegon the Conqueror, and, yeah.
I read something today that suggested that, Jaime was Azor Ahai. And it went deep into a lot of Norse mythology that I don't know.
I've read that theory, and I don't like it.
And that Bran is the bad guy. You know what it made me think, though? It made me think that, in a way, it would be good if Martin just never completes the story, because then none of the theories have to be disproven.
I don't think he's going to finish. Because, like...
Yeah. Well, there you go. Just keep running with him, guys. Make up your own endings.
No, I mean... Look at where the books left off. Stannis is still alive. He's still at the wall. Like, that's where the books ended. So, they're gonna... I can't imagine how he's gonna cover everything that's happened in the show in two books. And it's already taken him 6 years, and he still hasn't finished the last one, so...
He's gonna super fast travel.
Oh, God.
Well, at least he can go, like, you know, in between chapters, you know, 6 months later or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nothing of significance happened in 6 months.
We're skipping ahead.
The one question I had also is I feel like everyone, like, hyped on those kind of, like, Behind the Thrones or whatever. I don't know where I heard it, but the idea that you know, after the Hard Home episode, it was like, oh, the fight for the Iron Throne doesn't matter anymore because look at what's happening. And at the time, I was like, no, I still really care about that and who sits on the Iron Throne. And but now at this point, it's like, yeah, I guess I really don't now. And the whole stuff about Jon being like a legitimate Trueborn, et cetera, kind of falls flat because it's like they just made him king. Yeah, they made him king of the North. Oh. They didn't care that he was a bastard. So like that. Like, really doesn't matter now.
Not only that, but, like, Jon's character isn't the type that would want the throne to begin with. Anyway, like...
Yeah, so he would only have it if it was pointed upon him. Yeah, and even then, though,
like... I think the throne is just gonna get destroyed. I think Dead Dragon is gonna, like, melt it or something. Like, and I think at the end it's not gonna matter, because the wall is already down.
And he's a Targaryen now. I mean... Not that everyone didn't know, but that's, you know, it will be known at some point, right? And half the people in the Seven Kingdoms are still pissed off about the last time there was a Targaryen on the throne. That's why they're not a fan of Dany being on the throne. So if the only reason that Jon would have more of a claim to it is because he is now revealed to be a Targaryen, then wouldn't he fall under a lot of the same auspices as Dany did?
Probably not. Jorah said in season one, like, no one really cares who sits on the throne as long as, you know, they have a summer that lasts forever. I forgot the exact quote.
Break the wheel.
Whatever. That's totally not going to happen.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't, again, though, we don't see the small folk. We don't see the commoners. So we don't know. Like, I think last season we saw a lot of, like, oh, they were revolting against Cersei and now they're. She pretty much committed a terrorist attack and there's no ramifications whatsoever. But that's a podcast for another time.
Yeah, that's true. It reminds me a bit of one of the things I liked about The Lord of the Rings is that, you know, at the beginning of every hero's adventure, you kind of have this like idyllic area that you know that by the end of the adventure, you don't want to get back there because it's so boring compared to all the cool stuff they're going to do. But the first movie was so, you know, it still made me feel like, nah, man, I really hope this guy gets back home because he's going through so much
shit. Hell yeah, the Shire is fucking mad.
Yeah, but then by the end of the third movie, it really was like, oh yeah, this is really weird going back here. Like, the world's so big now.
You can never go back.
And so it's kind of the same thing. It's like the whole fight for the throne is kind of like, oh, yeah, I guess that is kind of small potatoes now.
That's true. Anything else? Any parting shots? This is, probably the last Game of Thrones chat for a little bit.
Don't
probably.
Joke. We'll talk about it next week. No, I don't know. I think
the start a book club.
Yeah, I got more stuff to say.
I'm sure the programming will get a little light, so we'll have to schedule in some more Game of Thrones chats.
No, I think
we'll just have Ethan watch a couple episodes, get super pissed off again, and just.
I mean, we could just like do like like the movies by the minute format, but like with the whole series.
Oh man, that would be rough.
Don't act like you wouldn't enjoy it.
But yeah, anything else about this in particular? Time.
Overall, I think it was a solid season. I don't know. Yeah, is that what we're talking about?
What happened?
Well, sure, okay, yeah, we shat on it for like 4 weeks straight, but I mean, like overall, there were a lot of cool moments, like very. It was like a lot of spectacle, and I don't know. I don't think it was the best. It wasn't the best.
Yeah, there was a lot of spectacle.
I think it was definitely better than 5.
And well, 2. I think, like we kind of mentioned, the fact that it's only 7.
Yeah, that really kind of. If there were 10, I think it would be 7. Better.
Yeah, if it was 10, all the same things happen, but you kind of fill in that extra space with just this, like, world building.
With reasoning.
Yeah, reasoning and just, like little moments that add to the weight of the big spectacle. Because all the big spectacles back to back to back feel empty.
And the whole argument, like, this side argument where people are trying to, like, prognosticate about why things are being sped up, about it being because there's, like, a lack of money or budget or something like that. All of these last 5 episodes have been the highest rated episode one after another of the entire entire show.
It's bigger than it's ever been. Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with interest or money. It's very clearly just the showrunners are done with it. And I mean, that's fine. Mm. They're more than welcome to be. it seems kind of a weird kind of direction to go from HBO's standpoint to kind of let them dictate the way that the show ends. You know, because I think we've talked about, why don't they just give it to someone else then instead of those two guys that obviously want to make their Confederate show. But it's very clear that the storytelling and the movement of the show is being informed by the fact that the people that are running it are done.
Yeah,
just done,
but do you think HBO, like the execs and all of that, do you think they really give a crap? Because, I mean, it's working. Whatever they're doing, it's working.
Well, I think they only would care insofar as they're going to get less paid days. You know, the cash cow is drying up quicker than they would like, I would assume.
Who knows?
But I mean, it's like the Transformers structure. The movies are shit, but they make billions of dollars, so who cares about quality anymore?
That's true. And they employ a lot of people. So, I mean, that's been like a... like an entire industry for what, a decade at this point now. There's people that have like have kids that are like 10 years old now, and all the money that they've ever made has been off of just working on Transformers. So, you know,
it's a weird way to look at it.
But yeah, all right. So I guess that'll be it for this episode of the Game of Thrones cast, which is essentially what Geekstrom is at this point.
Hell yeah!
Nice.
Anyone got anything to plug?
What's that?
Said see in 2 years, suckers.
Oh, plugs.
I'm trying to get Ethan on the hook, so we'll put it on wax to do a Twin Peaks episode. Next week they're doing the last two episodes at once.
Oh,
they're doing an 18-hour.
They're running them simultaneously.
Marathon. Well,
God, David Lynch is a genius.
So I gotta watch this whole fucking season this week,
dude. That God show damn. Is like the perfect example of like a counter. Balance to Game of Thrones, where it is like a very slow boil, and it demands a lot of you instead of just giving you kind of what it thinks you want. Mm-hmm. But it's so good once you kind of give yourself over to it and kind of get into it.
All right, well that's not gonna happen. But got a new Pixar pod coming out soon.
Oh, and you guys should all listen to the Cars 2 one because it's really good.
It is. Thanks. Good. It's funny.
But your podcast overall, I don't want to give you the wrong impression. The podcast itself is still garbage. But this one in particular was pretty good. I was a fan of the Cars 2 one. Especially the Is This Racist thing. That was pretty good.
Thanks. It was Is This Offensive?
Oh, sorry.
Cars have no race.
I was only half listening. I'm trying to give you a compliment, damn it.
Yeah, no compliment sandwich there. I saw right through that.
Got it.
Shorts is coming out soon. Two pair of shorts coming out. Just to keep your eyes out.
And is it the little bird one next?
It is.
It's the cutest
Piper
shit in the history of time.
So cute. And the other one's a secret. I can't tell you.
I'm intrigued. Ooh.
Intriguing.
What about you, Anthony? Anything in particular?
Well, yeah, I want you to play Overwatch with me on Xbox at Dip Draws Stuff, because the new season is beginning, and we need to. Oh yeah, they have seasons now.
How the fuck does this work?
Do we have time? No, it's like
no.
Is this an e-sport?
Oh, dude, it's intense. So yeah, I want people to play with me, and if you don't want to play with me, that's fine, I'll get over it. But you can find me on adepalma.com, and you could read some short stories I wrote. They're very mediocre, you'd love them. And they're a lot slower than Game of Thrones, so, hey.
Are you saying if you like this episode of this season of Game of Thrones, we'll like your
writing? No, I think my writing's better.
Oh,
but...
Nice.
Yeah, that's all I have.
But with that last minute jab there, I guess we'll say goodbye.
All right, goodbye, everyone.
All right. Vaya con Dios.
Love you.
Bye.